Hey guys, welcome back. You're listening to the Mission Sicily podcast. Hey guys, you're listening to the Mission Sicily podcast. I am Brian, and welcome back around again. It is deep into August in 2026, and just getting set up, preparing some material, getting excited really about the next season of podcasts to come out. It has been a hot minute. We have taken a little bit of a social media break, media in general, over the last 5, 6, 7 months, as we have taken a deep dive into, as many of you know, if you've been following this podcast, into the course material, as we're going through seminary, and just God has been so good to give us the information, the material, the work, the processing, myself and Gino, and our classmates online, as we're going through the material and putting into practice what we're learning. It has been incredible, and so excited to talk about that, talk about what's happening in the church here in Bill Paso and the mission in general. So fun things coming. Give you a little bit of a preview of what we're thinking. Several years ago, before leaving Sicily, or before leaving for Sicily from Nashville, Tennessee, we had developed a series of lectures that we were doing in different churches called The Real Italy, giving people not just, you know, the negative stuff. I mean, we could have called it the dark heart of Italy or something along that line, but we wanted people just to see what was real, not just the touristy aspect and what people know through film and cinema, that kind of thing, but the real life over here. And that was really in our hearts to share with people like you who were interested in supporting missions in a part of the world that gets forgotten because it has a lot of touristic appeal, let's say it like that. And those lectures were refreshed several years later as I was in Nashville during 2019 and 20. We did another series, and then coming back on the field in 21, we did a refresh of that series called The Real Italy. And I've had it in my heart to go back to that material, revamp it, refresh it, expand it, and maybe do almost a whole season on that. And so that's the idea for this new season coming up. Excited to give you a little bit of preview into that, as well as some updates coming. In the last couple of months, we've had several rounds of baptisms. Outreach has been phenomenal. Our partnerships deepening, and we have our horizons are being expanded, and we're really excited to share some of that with you. If you've been on our mailing list, you've seen some of the prayer requests coming through, and so you've got a hint of that. But now we're ready to go back into all of that material and expound it for you. And so this season, this episode will be a little bit of a standalone. We'll have an update or two come out, and then we're going to refresh the Real Italy material for you. After that's done, we'll come back around with some end of the year refresh and updates just on the ministry here and what we're thinking about for 2027. That's a long intro, but there you have it. If you're joining us for the first time, welcome. I'm Brian, and been here in Sicily for 13 years now, but really it started before that. We were on the not on the field, but fundraising for the field even before, a couple years before. So really 15 years in the making here as far as living and working here, But my story goes back really over 30 years to the early 90s, first coming over here as military and then for mission. And then really just finding roots, friendships, and seeing things evolve as God was making it clear what His calling on us was and is. We were making the relationships necessary, the bridges necessary in order to be able to carry that weight. And so a lot of work has gone in, 30 years of work has gone in to getting us to the place where we're at. And we exist here, if I can put it in simple terms, to make disciples, plant churches, and build bridges. Those are bridges of peace to isolated communities. That's bridges of friendship, even to groups that ordinarily would not feel connected or that there was anything to really dialogue about. And so we're seeing some progress also in that third category. But we're striving to enlist, train, and deploy the next generation of disciple makers, church planters, bridge builders. We want to see a multiplication movement emerge among young leaders that's fueled by a passion for Jesus and a heart for their homeland. We are here for Italians. We're some of the rare, I'd say less than 15%, actually come here specifically for Italians. And so it's cool to us to give you this slice, because a lot of what you may hear about ministry or missions in Italy and this part of the world, especially with the economic crises, the wars, the migration and immigration, Islam on the rise, all of that is great when people are sent here for those needs, which are needed. And I can absolutely validate that with my experience here on the field. But that's not necessarily our call specifically. We're specifically called to Italian-speaking peoples. And so that's what we do here. We have a heavy value then that gets placed on indigenous, facilitative, coming alongside, biblically-based, Jesus-modeled methodology. That's what we're out here to do. So that's a little of our story. In reflecting on all of that, and this is where we're going for today, you know, 15 years ago, before I went to Italy as a missionary, some of the most experienced evangelical leaders that I knew gave me some pretty unusual advice. not what I was anticipating, and but necessary and very, very welcome in the sense of getting an idea of what the real Italy was like, especially in the evangelical community. And so I wanted to walk through just a few of those pieces of advice that I had received while over here. One of them told me, you don't need any more American churches here in Italy. Okay. Another said, don't expect Italians to see you as a credible voice, to have a credible voice until you've lived here at least a decade, 10 years. Another said, this one is funny. I was told that church planting was unusually difficult, that Italian evangelicals were few and deeply divided, and that they don't like to read or study. I'll explain and expand on that in a minute. And don't bring a strategy, you know, a template, something already concocted. Nothing works here, and everything works here. So 15 years later, I wanted to come back around and go through those five statements, not to prove anybody wrong, but to ask hopefully an interesting question. What did they see that I couldn't see yet at that time? And what has changed since they gave me that advice? I really hope that the heart of what I'm trying to convey today comes through, which is I want you to see some change and what's evolved and developed, the challenges, and, you know, some of the fruit That's the whole purpose of this podcast is give you a window into all of that over here. Italy doesn't need any more American churches. I can tell you, even before I heard that advice 15 years ago, in Bible school, which was now, that would have been 20 years ago, just over 20, 25 maybe, we were sending from our Bible school folks over here to do ministry in Italy. This was an interesting time with the Eastern European countries opening up, communism waning, and borders diminishing. It was allowing more traffic, but people were coming into Italy a lot in the 80s and in the 90s. And what we saw were a lot of duplication methods, and I use duplication instead of replication or multiplication. We're into multiplying what we find here contextually that fits and is adaptive in this environment, not bringing something wholesale from the outside in, putting it here and duplicating it. We want something ingrained. We want something that's indigenous. What we were seeing then in those days, we're talking about the 1980s and 90s, a lot of Bible schools were coming over, doing a good work, training up leaders, but it was based on an American paradigm. So were the churches. A lot of the churches today that we see are international, and so they are English-speaking, they have some translation, but the format, the appeal, I guess the thing that is attractive about the models are they are uniquely American in their design, and they're able to be duplicated. They're duplicating something from the U.S. and putting it here, which, okay, I get that. It makes sense on a certain level. It's not our approach, not what we're after. But I can see from the Italian point of view why they would have given this advice. Italy doesn't need another American church. A lot of what was happening afterwards in the late 90s and early 2000s, what we saw were the collapse of a lot of these duplicated paradigms, these duplicated models that were here. The U.S. missionary would go back home to the U.S. They did not have trained up a lot of leaders. If they did, those leaders either got sidetracked or off balance or fell in some way or another. In fact, that was the whole reason that we were sent to Estonia for that particular model. In fact, exactly what I just described. That was the series of events that happened in Estonia that led us there to help rebuild some things. In fact, just a couple of months ago, I had the privilege, the pleasure of going back to Estonia. Second year in a row now, we feel like there's a bridge reconnecting us to that work, the new pastor that's there and being an encouragement, called alongside him to help support in their efforts that are still ongoing. Praise God for that. But that was the model. And we're seeing that burned a lot of bridges over here in Italy, especially among these Italian and Sicilian pastors. In fact, I say this all the time, I think. Gino, he understands it and he agrees with it, but he's heard it so much, he kind of rolls his eyes now. But when I share the story of when I first got here, Gino wouldn't even talk to me. It's true. It's true. Because, not because of me, but because of the other Americans that had come in before us. And they wanted to do things, you know, it's just kind of the John Wayne, you know, you swagger in, we're Americans, we know how to do things, y'all just sit down, shut up, and listen. And not that, you know, American missionaries didn't come over with humility and a heart to serve, certainly, but the impact that was left, the bitter taste in the mouth, was more akin to, y'all just need to listen to us because we've got it figured out. We're from the American church. And there was a lot of appeal, you know. There were a lot of struggles here that American model spoke to in a heart language and, you know, speaking to some of those hurts and wounds and pains, some of those struggles. And Yeah. Instead of doing the hard work of contextualizing the gospel in this area, we just imported models. And so I totally get, and I think that advice stands today, is we don't need more American churches here. I think one could even make the case that even America doesn't need more, quote, American churches. What we need are contextualized, highly facilitative, Jesus-modeled, biblically-based, gospel-centric expressions of communities of faith and believers and disciple-making in every city. And that's going to look radically different. I mean, you know, if you take San Francisco and, I don't know, Raleigh, North Carolina, those expressions can and should look very, very different and contextualized for the demographic, for the culture, for all of that comes into play. You understand what I'm saying. And so I get what those leaders were telling us. You know, 15 years later, I don't know if it's as reductionistic and simplistic as that. It may be much more complicated. I think what we need to be asking is, what does it mean for a church to be really healthy in this part of the world? You know, immigration, globalization, the changing Italian religious landscape, post-Catholicism, let's say it like that, has left us with, okay, this question of how does it look different today, 2026, from where we started, 2011? And yeah, so I'd say don't bring America to Italy, bring Americans to Italy. That would be my advice, because the harvest is really ripe, and we need laborers. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers. Here's another one. It takes 10 years before Italians will listen to you. This is probably one of the best pieces of advice, because it gave us the long view. I remember the book by Eugene Peterson talking about slow discipleship, and he took a line from Nietzsche and retooled it a little bit, and the title of the book was A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. And following Jesus is very much that. It's a long obedience in a singular, narrow road direction. I was told not to expect Italians to see me as a credible, authoritative voice until I had lived in Italy at least 10 years. And yeah, something happened that nobody could have predicted back in those days. I mean, the internet absolutely blew up. I was living in Estonia, 2007, 2008. There's an economic collapse in the States, but I remember things were booming in the Northern European countries technology-wise. Skype came on the market from two Estonian guys. And, of course, Facebook later bought them out after Facebook got big. I remember going back to the States in 2008, back to our home church in Nashville, Tennessee, and remembering, oh, wow, I can stay connected with Facebook now. There's so many new ways to, you know, do updates and broadcast and all of that kind of thing. You know, having a voice became something really potential, powerful even, on social platforms. And that voice has to be authenticated, though. There has to be some credibility. There has to be a long obedience. And, you know, Sicilians in particular are super hospitable when you're visiting. When you move in next door, it's a different story. The walls go up and the shades come down. Nobody's home. And this is because there is a natural distrust of foreigners, especially, but even other Sicilians coming in next door, because there's so much impact on the local level of what it means to have somebody living next door to you. There's so many complications to life and People got scared even when they heard that an American was going to be living in this apartment where we've been now for 3 years. But even today, so we're talking, you know, the late or mid 2020s, and people are scared. An American? Oh no, it's all going to go to pot. You know, I don't know what expectations they had, but there's that fear, there's that sensitivity, there's that caution. You know, I think the heart of that advice those years ago was take a long approach. Don't come in the first day and just start shoving your doctrine, perspective, agenda on people, but get to know them. Let the rapport become the platform. And that was an interesting approach. I wanted to be authentic. I wanted to share Jesus. I wanted to share who I was, because they try to identify you really quick, right? Okay, you're an American, you're a foreigner here. So you're either military, 30 years ago, but not today. Okay, well then you're a Mormon, Jehovah's Witness. No, wrong on both counts. Okay, well then why are you here, right? And there was that sense of caution and, you know, okay, well, let's see how this goes. And a lot of people didn't open up for the couple of years, really, even our neighbors. But after about 5 years, they saw, okay, this guy's here longer than a normal military or Jehovah's Witness or Mormon tour, so to speak. So they must have a heart for this place. And that's when they started digging, oh, well, you've got it, Sicilian roots here. You came to learn the language. You have a heart interest in who we are as a people and a culture. And coming alongside, partnering with the church, learning the culture and learning to contextualize what the gospel could and should look like here in this day and age, not 20 years ago, but today. All of that has taken a very long approach, and I don't know that, you know, we've arrived at some level, but I can say there is a sense of mutual respect now today that wasn't present 15 years ago. I think that is easy to say and to confirm. The other piece of advice, number three, was church planting in Italy is hard. No doubt. And this is from evangelical leaders. And in fact, one of the leaders of the literature production, publication, distribution groups here in Italy called CLC, Cielici, one of the leaders. We had discussed this many times, that Italians, in particular Sicilians, don't like to read. And we found this out really quickly when doing some church planting in some of the local towns. We had people coming to our small groups doing discovery Bible study approach to scripture in these little groups. And they were very awkward and hesitant about getting involved. We found out why later, because many of them don't have even a high school reading level. And I remember the first year I was here and had met Gino, we became friends. I was getting my hair cut at a barber next door to me, and said I had the hardest time communicating about what I wanted on my haircut, which should be a pretty straightforward thing. You know, you can make the little signs and gestures with your hands. And he laughed. He said, oh, well, Giuseppe doesn't speak Italian. I said, what do you mean? He said, no, he dropped out in elementary school. He really doesn't speak Italian. He speaks Sicilian. And that was, yeah, okay, first hurdle, literacy on a literal level, being able to read a Bible is really tough. And so from that, we developed the podcast, not this one that you're listening to now, but one that I can put in the show notes so you can get a link to if you want to listen in Italian. Could be fun for somebody out there trying to learn Italian. We developed the podcast going through scripture because folks were having such a hard time reading, like themselves, reading word for word in the scriptures. So we thought it would be an audio tool to be helpful. And lo and behold, all these years later, the podcast is still going on. We've handed it on to some younger leaders in our church who are doing a fantastic job and have a daily episode come out. But that was one of the tools we developed for the purpose of confronting the illiteracy here. And that was one hurdle about church planting and disciple making. There were some others. There are some distinctions between the North and the South. The North tends to be more spread out, cold, and isolated. I don't know that that's really so true today. As a generalization, maybe stereotype, maybe, but it's not the everyday experience, and God is doing some amazing things in the North. We'll talk about that more later on in the year. But on the other side, in the South, we tend to be more clumped together, a little warmer, more open, and that's true to a certain point. There's also a sense of pride and respect and, you know, this kind of shame and honor thing going on down here in the South that makes it really difficult for people to open up and talk about spiritual things. As soon as you get into God and the Bible, usually there's a closure that happens. If you can get them interested in the Bible, interestingly, they have a great respect for the Bible, but they've never read it. They don't own one. And they've rarely heard, they might hear it quoted now and then, but they've not read it for themselves. When you start challenging their ideas based on Scripture and pointing them to Scripture, eyes are opened, lights come on, Holy Spirit descends like a dove and begins to whisper in their hearts, and it's amazing to see that. But there are some challenges. There are some challenges, again, with those American models coming over. There's some challenges just among leaders vying for position. There's a leftover resonance from the Catholic culture here. I say Catholic culture because a lot of people are unchurched nowadays here in Italy, and there's a residue of Catholic culture that's left here, and it seeps into everything. We'll talk about that when we go through the new refreshed Real Italy series coming up, but This is one of the main challenges, I'd say, just to put a pin here, is that Italy itself is not just one mission field. It is a multiplicity. It is a plethora of different mission fields. Even in our town, just to give you a little anecdotal sidestep here, in our town of Bel Paso, we have 28,000 people. We have five distinct quarters or neighborhoods here, and each of those five has their own pretty distinct demographic. Somebody, Belpassese, somebody from here in this town can hear that tone, lilt from that particular quarter, from that particular neighborhood. It is amazing. They can tell where they're from in our one town. And in that town, the demographic changes because of why people live here. There's some that have lived here their whole lives. Even their parents have lived here. Great. There's no hospital here. There's nobody who's born here except for our grandparents now, you know, who were maybe born in a home here, not in a hospital. But everybody else is born in Catania, the nearest big city, let's say it like that, to our town. But in the little quarters, either you grew up here all your life, or the other four categories, we have our mafiosi, the mafia. These are the ones that have tried to escape, and there's a long history of that in our town. In fact, our town was called Malpassotto before, which is bad pass, like a pass through a mountain pass. thankfully, we've changed the name to Bel Paso, Beautiful Pass, and that has changed a little bit of the outlook, at least, or perspective on the town. But before, it was known as the highlands up above Catania, where people would, you know, do crime in the city and then go escape authorities for a while up in the hinterland. And so that's where we are. So there is a residue of that. There's people that are from Catania originally that moved here because they want to get away from the hustle and bustle of the big city. And so, et cetera, et cetera. You get the point. There's these five quarters here, and it's not all, I'm simplifying a little bit just to, you know, make a point that each of those demographics needs their own expression of the gospel from somebody from that area, a person of peace that lives there in their area. And so, I mean, we're looking at having five distinct groups in a small town of 28,000, because that's how complicated and specific and complex church planting can be here. So imagine trying to reach what is effectively a nation, but a nation of city-states. And on those city-states are these little towns, and they're isolated and alone. There's so much work to do here, guys. Let's move on. Another one, there are too few evangelicals. We are very few. They would tell me time and again, these were evangelical leaders on a national level. If I mentioned their name in any local church, they would know who they were. We are so few, and we are so far divided. So, 15 years later, yeah, is that still the case? Yeah, that's a tough one. I struggle with this one a lot. My gut wants to just go, I immediately agree. You know, I was warned about it before coming here. There are very few evangelicals, and they're very far divided. They're also, in a different way, well-connected, because the world, evangelical world over here in Italy is so small, everybody knows everybody. And it's funny, we run into people in an evangelical church in the north that has met people from our church in Belpasso, and we're like, how the heck did that happen? They were at a camp or, you know, some meeting, congregational meeting in Rome, for example, and you cross paths and you meet people from all over. And it's a very small world, I'd say that. The evangelical world is very small. Are we so far away? I don't know. I think technology has helped to bridge a little bit of that divide. It's an older mentality a lot of leaders still hold to protecting their little kingdoms. And that's starting to wane, I think. And some of those churches are drying up now. And there is an embracing of outsiders and other churches, even if they're not identical theologically. We see that the mission is the same. And so I think there is some room to say that there's some changes there. I think really defining ourselves by our theological distinctives is not necessarily a really Italian thing. We have a lot of Americans that come in, and the first thing that they'll ask is for that statement of faith, kind of the religious charter, if you will, doctrinal charter, and trying to get a handle on, but it's not something that is foremost in the thinking of locals over here. I think what we gravitate towards more is what's on the agenda, what is the mission from your perspective or from ours, and do those mesh? In fact, that was what really brought Gino and I together, was a heart for making disciples, planting churches, and building bridges. That's what brought us together, me as an outsider. And so even among Italians, that is the unifying thing. In fact, one of the most beautiful expressions of this that I've seen here around the Catania area is a group of pastors united to serve the humanitarian needs of both Italians and immigrants. That's a beautiful thing. It's called Mission Agape, and it's fantastic. Agape. The love of God. And it's a beautiful expression. And so I think there are some things that are changing along that line, and that's really, really fun. The last thing I'll mention, the last piece of advice that we got over here, I heard this often, nothing works here and everything works here. So it's a strange piece of advice. It's probably one of the wisest things. And it loops back into that very first piece of advice that I mentioned. Don't import prefabbed templates. Don't think that you're just going to come over and do what you had imagined before. Try it, but be open, be willing to change, be adaptive, be led by the Holy Spirit, and don't assume that something won't work just because it failed elsewhere. I mean, again, in the little microcosm of our town of Bel Paso, 28,000 people, five distinct demographics, one thing might work in one neighborhood and not in another. And you have to be willing to adapt and contextualize every five steps. It's so funny. Guys, my wife, Rosie, she can be, we can, you know, be in a cafe having a cappuccino in the morning before she goes to work, and she'll hear somebody walk in and she can tell me where they're from. And it could be a town that's 2 kilometers from here, but she can hear it immediately. Or a part of town. We live in a part of town, a neighborhood of this town called Borrello. And the Borrellese, they speak in a little bit different way than those just in the... And everything's centered on the Catholic Church. So it's funny. If you ask for directions over here, this is just a little side piece of advice. If you come to Italy and you ask for directions and they're an older person, they're probably going to use a point of reference on the Catholic Church that is that local church in that quartiere, in that neighborhood. And so sometimes I'll be speaking to her, hey, stop at that little frutte vendolo, the fruit vendor, vegetable vendor, fruit stand down at the bottom of town. And she'll be like, where? I'll be like, Zona San Antonio, the San Antonio zone. So San Antonio, St. Anthony is the church as a reference. Oh, and then she gets it, you know, and that's funny. But every little quarter has their own challenges, and what may work in one area may not work in another. And so I think after 15 years, I think that's still some of the best missionary advice I've ever received. The problem isn't that strategies per se don't work. The problem is that strategies a lot of times don't take into account the context. People change. People are different in different areas. And so that is, just a way of reflecting. Thanks for listening today to this podcast. I wanted to open this season with a little bit of reflection on where we've come from. And and I was doing some of this comparing in my mind mentally. I wanted to just talk it out with you. To share some of the advice that we had received on the front end. Is it still true? And what are we still putting into practice? I'm grateful for those people that have shaped our mission and ministry here in Italy, the people that have spoken into this mission over the years, especially before coming and helping us prepare mentally, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually for what we would find here. You know, not every piece of advice was the greatest or even still applicable, but I think you can see that a lot of it is still relevant today, and we're still wrestling with some of these same things. And I'm grateful that God has used people like them to speak into this mission. I'm grateful for people like you who are listening to this podcast that find this mission worthwhile and worth supporting. So if you haven't taken a look at our website in a while, head on over to missionsicily.com. There's a button to donate and support this mission through our mission agency, which is now called Mesa Global. A little sidebar here, some of you may remember it as United World Mission. It's the same group out of Charlotte, North Carolina, but over the last 10 years, we have merged or brought others into our fold. One of the biggest ones, other agencies I'm talking about, is the Latin American Mission, LAM. and some others that brought a distinct Latin flair, either from South and Central America or from here in Europe, Spain, and other Spanish-speaking groups. And so as we brought them in, we wanted something that represented a little bit more the heart and mission. And the heart and mission is still church planting, very facilitative, raising up leaders. That's still absolutely the DNA. The idea or the picture, the analogy that comes alongside that has shifted a little bit to mesa. Mesa is a Spanish word for table. And so it's about coming to the table. And a lot of ministry that Jesus did was at a table, either during a meal or in conversations, challenging religious ideas, training, disciple making. All of that was real life around a table. And it's really fitting in our neck of the woods over here in Italy, which is very much a food culture, and having that name serves us well. So hopefully you'll recognize that when you go to the Mesa website. You can go through our portal. So go to missionsicily.com, you click on support or donate. That'll take you to Mesa Global, to our page on our agency's website for you to participate. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, which is now X. You can follow us on, obviously, this podcast on YouTube, whatever your podcast platform is, and Facebook, Instagram, all of that kind of stuff. Guys, thank you so much for following. Thank you for your love and encouragement, your prayers. More than anything else, thank you for praying for this mission, for people like Gino here in the South, for Stefano in the North, for our church partners in Estonia. Thank you for lifting them up before the throne of grace. We appreciate you so much. God bless you. And hey, we're going to talk to you soon. We've got some exciting podcast episodes coming up. So stay tuned. Ciao for now.